Welcome into the latest edition of the Ebony Bird Podcast. I'm your host, Jake McDonald. You can follow me on Twitter at jmcdonald95 and Ebony Bird on Twitter at ebony_bird. Another week of Ravens football in the books as the Birds pick up another 40-point win, a shutout win, the largest shutout margin in team history over the Miami Dolphins on national television on Thursday Night Football. The Ravens picking up a huge win to get them to 4-4. So I'm joined by our two site experts, Chris Schissler at FootballMan58 on Twitter, and then Joe Schiller at Joe Schiller with two R's. So guys, just before we get started here, make sure to download our Ebony Bird app from the App Store. Some big news today: Danny Woodhead officially returns to practice off injured reserve. He could, has a couple weeks to practice before he's eligible to come back. Baltimore Ravens versus Tennessee Titans, three big things. C.J. Mosley deserves to be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. Those are some of the articles coming at you today from all of our contributors and site experts at Ebony Bird. And so check us out, all that on the Ebony Bird app on Twitter and ebonybird.com. And, of course, you're listening to this podcast through either iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. So, fellas, I'm not going to lie, we have lots to discuss, and I am multitasking as I watch the Game 6 of the World Series between the Dodgers and the Astros on my iPad here. But talking about the Ravens, they rushed for over 174 yards on the ground, 113 by Alex Collins, 55 by Buck Allen on the ground in their win over Miami. Macklin and Watson caught touchdowns, a very nice catch by Macklin in the first quarter. Mosley and Smith both scored defensive touchdowns. A weird touchdown the Ravens scored when Chris Moore recovered a fumble in the end zone and ended up scoring the largest shutout margin in Ravens history, like I alluded to. But guys, except from the Flacco slide and the hit by Kiko Alonso, which we'll get to in a few minutes, we'll go to Chris and then Joe. Just top takeaways from the game: a dominant Ravens win. We knew that this could have happened because it was a short week on Thursday night at home. But still, the Ravens, they made the Dolphins look like a winless team. The Dolphins are now a 4-3 team, but the Ravens look, they made them look absolutely terrible on Thursday night.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier with the performance. I was a little frustrated on Thursday night, though, because I'm thinking, we just got beat by the Bears in that same stadium. We go up to Minnesota and we allow six field goals and a touchdown to beat us as the Vikings push up over us. And so, yeah, I'm excited, but man, just imagine we don't lose to the Bears. We're 5-3 right now after a 40-0 win, and we're going to Tennessee for our sixth win of the season. That's the situation we would have been in. And now we're 4-4, we're fighting for 5-4, and the result of this game is going to have huge implications potentially on the wild card race. And now we're really racing for a wild card spot because Pittsburgh's schedule doesn't look that difficult. They seem to be not falling flat on their face when it absolutely matters. And the Ravens have lost a couple of, oh my goodness, how did you do that, games of Jacksonville in London and now the Bears. Vikings game, I kind of expected. So I was frustrated that they played so well, because this is what they were capable of the entire time, although I couldn't be happier with the performance.
I was at the game, and it was about the same crowd as the Bears game, but just a much better atmosphere. Great game. I mean, I don't think any of us expected it to be a 40-0 shutout. I think all of us picked the Dolphins in this game, because, I mean, you just didn't have much confidence coming in after the Ravens losing four out of the last five games. But I know we'll get to the Flacco hit in a minute, but he was playing probably one of the best games we've seen him so far this season before he got hit, which is a shame. That pass he threw to Jeremy Macklin in the first quarter was a beautiful pass, probably the best pass we've seen him throw in a very long time. It seemed like everything started getting going before he got hit. Alex Collins is obviously going to be the number one running back the rest of the season. I mean, he kind of exploded onto the scene again, finally hit over 100 yards. Still hasn't gotten that touchdown yet, but I figure he will. Defense, I mean, it's a great performance. I don't think the Dolphins are a very good team. I mean, they were just the worst foreign team possible. I don't think they were very good, especially with Matt Moore and even with Jay Cutler. But it's just nice to see this defense playing back to their old ways again with Carl Davis and Brandon Williams in the middle. I mean, I think it was Ajayi ran on either 21 or 22 yards in one of his first carries of the game, and the Ravens held him for like 6 or 7 yards the rest of the game. I mean, that's pretty darn good. And C.J. Mosley with the pick six, that was awesome. And then Jimmy Smith playing like a Pro Bowl cornerback that he deservedly needs to get after this season, because with another pick six and with his ability to stay healthy, this secondary is really something else. So, I mean, this that I'm happy the Ravens won. The Dolphins aren't a good team, but I mean, you'll take wins where you can get them. And we know the Ravens will have a difficult schedule this year, and coming to the back end of the schedule with the Titans and some other very winnable games. Like Chris said, that the division's not there because of how well Pittsburgh's playing, but a wild card spot definitely is. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fare these next 8 games.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about the Joe Flacco hit. Now, of course, happened around the 2-minute warning in the second quarter. I believe it was like a 3rd-and-9 play where Flacco was running, and of course the hit by Kiko Alonso. There's been a lot of debate and a lot of discussion about the hit, whether it was a legal hit, should he have been fined, should he have been suspended. The NFL announced today that Kiko Alonso will not be suspended, and I understand Ravens fans, I understand their frustration with not getting a suspension for Alonso or a fine. I do believe if this happened to a quarterback like Brady, I think the result might have been a little bit different. I do think there is a vendetta with the NFL against quarterbacks like Flacco there. But just talking about the slide itself, when you look at the slide on film or on, you know, on YouTube or whatever, you can't help but admit that it was a late slide by Flacco. The decision to slide late by him, was late in of itself. Alonso, you know, he's never been the type of, he's had an up and down career, he's battled some injuries. He's never been known as a dirty player. He's always been known as a class act. And he even revealed that he apologized after the game, and then it was revealed later in the week that he had texted Flacco saying that he'd felt bad, apologizing, yada, yada. But I think we've seen this before. We haven't seen Flacco get hit quite like this when he's sliding, but the fact of the matter is he's just not good at sliding at all. We saw, like, last year, you know, when he would always slide on his left leg after tearing his ACL. Didn't look pretty. I think he even broke his knee brace one time because he just doesn't know how to slide properly. And I do think that that type of hit, if you compare it to hits around the NFL, should warrant a fine. But I don't necessarily think Alonso should have been suspended for that necessary type of hit. And I'm willing to take some of the blame for that, or some of the heat. I know there's a lot of Ravens fans out there that disagree with me completely, and I understand your viewpoint. Believe me, I'm frustrated too with Flacco being taken out of the game. I don't want to see Ryan Mallett start on Sunday. I don't want to see another second of Ryan Mallett the rest of the season. I think it was a dirty hit the way it appeared on TV, but I myself don't think that Alonso went into that hit intending to injure Flacco the way that it ended up happening. We'll go to Joe and then Chris on this one. Some thoughts on the hit by Alonso that concussed Joe Flacco and knocked him out for the rest of the game.
So I was obviously just very heated after I saw the play because it happened kind of right in front of me at the game. And, of course, my immediate reaction when you see it just in real time is like, that's a very dirty hit, and we're all booing Kiko Alonso and everything. And I'll still kind of take it to the grave that I thought it was a dirty hit. I know Flacco slid late, but I don't know. It was just seeing it, and I just want to see consistency with it. Because we saw Sendejo hit Wallace the other week, and he gets suspended for a game. I mean, just can we be, I want some consistency on it. I mean, especially with how the NFL preaches about player safety. I mean, I don't even care if he intended to hit him or not. I mean, it was a late slide by Flacco, but they just have to have some consistency here. And I think a 1-game suspension would have been good for this kind of hit. I mean, I thought he didn't necessarily need to lower his shoulder into him. I mean, Flacco was sliding short of the first down anyway. So it's just a bang bang play. And it's one of those football plays, but I'm just frustrated how, like, in college, they would immediately review that for like a targeting penalty. And whether he would have been ejected or not, that's like, it's up to the discretion of the referees. But how do we have such a good review system in college for these kind of hits, but in the NFL, all you get is a 15-yard penalty flag? I mean, it just amazes me how the NFL is not up to these kind of standards, especially with all the talk about CTE and all the research that they've been doing lately. I mean, I just hate it when a linebacker knocks out a quarterback, but then he's still able to stay in. And if it was Brady or someone else, Kiko Alonso would never be allowed to play in the NFL again. He'd get banned. He'd never be able to play. And he'd get fined $1 million. I mean, if there's any high-profile quarterback, like you said, there definitely would have been the suspension for it. So I was a little disappointed he didn't get suspended. I know he's going to get fined for it. And I was also surprised, going off topic just for a second, that even, like, Ndamukong Suh choking out Ryan Mallett, like, right on national television. This wasn't even, like, a 1 o'clock CBS game. This was in front of everyone watching. He just chokes out Ryan Mallett. I mean, it's just crazy. And I thought I deserved a suspension, but, I mean, that's just me.
Before Chris goes, I have to give a shout-out to my buddy Nolan at Charm City Birdwatch, the sports blog that I own. I'm the administrator for CharmCityBirdwatch.com. He tweeted out a picture. It was like, who did it better? And it was like a picture of Sue choking out Mallett. And then next to it was a picture of from WWE, The Undertaker doing a choke slam on Kane. So I thought that was funny. It didn't get a lot of traction on Twitter, but wrestling fans like myself, I thought.
Yeah, I'm gonna try not to lose it right now because I'm living. Jake, I respect you more than most people on earth, but that was a dirty hit. That was an absolutely dirty hit. That was one of the worst hits in football. And the problem with that hit is it's the entire point of the NFL player safety movement. This is what we're trying to get rid of. Senseless violence of the game. You're not taking out the hard hitting. You're not taking out the physicality of the game. You're taking out hits that have no place in the game. When a quarterback is sliding, he's a defenseless player. He's giving himself up. And that's the rule. I don't care if it was a late slide. I don't care if it was an ugly slide. It was a slide. A duck is a duck. A horse is a horse. And a slide is a slide. And I don't want to hear that, oh, well, the game happens fast. Frame by frame, Kiko Alonso had time, changed the entire trajectory of his body to target Joe Flacco's head. He put his entire body through his neck, shoulder, head area, all the way to his cleats. Flacco needs stitches behind the ear. I mean, if the helmet doesn't pop off, Flacco's neck might be broken. This could have ended his career if that happened. We're lucky not only that Flacco very well may be able to play against the Titans, but we're lucky that he can play at all for the rest of his career. This was an unbelievable hit. And Kiko Alonso seemed to do the same thing that Ndamukong Suh did. They're getting slapped on TV, on national TV. They're getting beaten badly. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take out the quarterback. Throw him an opportunity. That's what it felt like to me. And if you want to say the game's fast, I don't disagree with you. There are a lot of targeting calls, especially in college football, where I go, he shouldn't be ejected. He was trying to make a play. I think intent is important, and I can't look at that. I cannot look at that and say that there was no intent to harm Flacco. It literally looked like if the game's fast and he has to make a decision, you don't put your entire body through his head. I'm done. I can't do it. It's just ridiculous. I don't know what else to say. It's just horrible.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I do think the hit was dirty. Like I was saying earlier, I do think that it's the type of hit that if the NFL, like Joe alluded to, is being consistent, should warrant a fine and should warrant a suspension, like what happened with that Vikings defender last week that hit Mike Wallace. So I do agree that it is frustrating to see a lack of consistency, but at the same time, the thing that I kind of see, and I've heard, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I listen to a lot of podcasts by, you know, NFL experts that play the game recently, and they were just making the point of Flacco was trying to go for the first down when he slid. Maybe if he slid at the time he was trying to, or if he would have slid earlier, he wouldn't have been able to pick up the first down. He was definitely going for the first down, and that was why they were saying he may have slid late. But the point I was trying to make is I don't think Flacco did a good enough job to protect himself in this instance. Like I definitely feel bad for him. I feel bad for the hit that actually happened, but I think if he had slid a little bit earlier, Alonso would have had more time to react. I'm not excusing it at all. I'm not, you know, excusing the hit for what it was, because it was dirty. It was a dirty hit if you rack it up to the NFL. All I'm saying is there's fault by both players in this incident, and I think it could have been prevented.
That's fair. I mean, quick shout out though to Ryan Jensen after the play for just destroying Alonso.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
hilarious. I mean,
hell
no
yeah.
matter whether it's a dirty hit or not, I mean, for him to have his back. And, I mean, that's just the kind of play Jensen is. I mean, just to go up and literally just destroy Kiko Alonso after that play. I mean, it was a chippy game all night, and you could tell when the Dolphins really started to get down that they were starting more stuff, and it was when – I forget who tried to poke Ryan or Austin Howard's eye.
Awesome.
And then Malik got choked out. I mean, it was – I almost like watching a WWE match, I mean, at the end of the game. He'll get fined, but I don't know. It's just, we can argue this to the grave about whether he could have gotten a suspension or not. It's just the NFL, and there's nothing that's consistent about it, so this doesn't really surprise me.
One thing I do want to say, though, before Chris goes is If you look at Alonso after the play happened, when Harbaugh and everybody was screaming at him, Jansen came after him, he didn't retaliate violently. He kind of looked confused. Like, that's just me judging his initial reaction. I just wanted to add that there. He didn't, what gave me the impression that he didn't intend to hurt Flacco as severely as he did was the way he reacted when the Ravens came at him. He did not, you know, cause a fight. He let people come at him, but he looked kind of shocked that they were coming at him and yelling.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that, Harbaugh was screaming at Alonso, and then they asked him in the press conference, like, how he felt on the hit, and he's like, I don't really have an opinion on it. And you could, like, tell that he was just screaming at him, so, I mean, It was just funny. But
yeah, well, more coach speak from Harbaugh, but yep. There's nothing you can do to tell me that a dirty hit that warrants a suspension, and I agree the main point that we've made is consistency, and it's really consistency all across the board. I don't know what constitutes pass interference anymore. I don't know what constitutes a catch anymore, and I don't know what constitutes getting a player ejected from the game or suspended or fined. Or it's just, where's the line, and, you know, how do you judge it? And to me, it's by intention, and I think actions speak louder than words, and the actions spoke pretty loudly.
Ezekiel Elliott about consistency in the NFL.
Well, moving on now, hope everyone listening to this edition of the Ebony Bird Podcast had a happy Halloween. I'm host Jake McDonald, contributor for Ebony Bird. You can follow me on Twitter at jmcdonald95, joined by our two site experts, Chris Schistler at footballman58 and Joe Schiller at Joe Schiller of 2 R's on Twitter. We as a group are ebonybird.com, ebony_bird on Twitter, and of course you're listening to this through either iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Moving on, this week the Ravens heading to Tennessee to face the Titans. The Titans, you know, had their bye last week. The Ravens are going to have a nice 10-day rest period. Flacco has some time to get ready for this, recovering for his concussion, officially diagnosed that he had during the game on the Alonso hit. Harbaugh's press conference yesterday said that Flacco has zero concussion symptoms, and all signs point to him being able to play Sunday. If he can play, he will. So it sounds like the Ravens are fairly certain that Flacco is going to be able to play. So that'll obviously be a big boost for the Ravens. I think if Mallett plays, they're going to have to rely a lot on the run and expect to see a lot of Buck Allen and Alex Collins getting mixed in there. But if Flacco plays, maybe they'll open it up a little bit more. But we'll definitely try to be protecting him after that big hit. Chris, you revealed before we got started here that you're going to be in Nashville for this game. You'll be attending. So what are you expecting to see on Sunday, how the Ravens can keep this momentum going against the Titans and getting that second W in a row?
Well, they're the 2017 Baltimore Ravens. I have no idea what to expect. I have a good feeling. I really do. I think you got a big win. You figured out some stuff. I think tempo with the offense. If we don't do tempo with the offense again, I'm going to lose it, because that worked beautifully. The offense, you know, playing conservative but not bottled up, I thought that was good. You know, lean on the running game, safe throws, but – you know, you're trying to move the ball. You're not trying to hand the ball off two times with punts. That was good. I'm expecting a defensive showing, I'll tell you that much. Brandon Williams is back 100%. You stuffed Jay Ajayi. I know DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry are really good, but that's all the Titans offense has going for them. Marcus Mariota is a guy. I'm a big fan of Mariota, but that passing offense and that offense in general is just not that good right now. And I think the Ravens have a good chance of winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think they have a great chance to win. I think a lot of it depends on Mariota's health, too. I mean, coming off a bye, I don't really follow them as closely, so I don't know how he's doing, but I know he's dealt with some hamstring issues over the past couple of weeks. So, like you said, Chris, I mean, the big thing is stopping the run. I mean, Murray and Henry pretty much just about split carries, it looks like. So that's going to be the two-headed monster to stop. And with how we've seen the Ravens improve over the past couple of weeks with the run defense and Brandon Williams back, hopefully that is a key point on their defense this week. And this is one of those games where if the Ravens lose, it could end up affecting them in the wild card spot down at the end of the season, because the Titans are kind of in the same spot. They're battling for the division. And depending on how well the Jags and the Colts are playing, the Titans can be fighting for a wild card spot as well. So it's one of those games where you kind of have to win so you have the upper hand on a Dolphins or a Titans team at the end of the season. So it's going to be a defensive game. I just don't know what to expect from the Ravens offense. I hope Joe Flacco plays. All signs are pointing to that he does. But if Ryan Mallett's out there, I give the Ravens no chance whatsoever, no matter how well they're running the ball. But I think all really depends on two quarterbacks in this game, to be honest. How healthy Joe Flacco is coming this game and how healthy Marcus Mariota is.
Well, just a scouting report on the Titans. Again, the game occurring 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. The Ravens on the road, of course, down in Nashville. The first time, I believe it's the first time they play there in 6 years. The last time, if I remember correctly, it was 2011. Just some quick things on the Titans. They have wins over the Jaguars, Seahawks, Colts, and Browns, a 4-3 team, with losses to the Raiders, Texans, and Dolphins. They have their bye week last week, but like we mentioned, the Ravens are going to have a 10-day rest period here. The Tennessee is 2-1 at home and 2-2 on the road, and they have a two-game winning streak right now over the Colts and the Browns, at home against the Colts and away in Cleveland before their bye last week. And as you guys alluded to, you know, the clumped-up AFC is going to give the Ravens some hope here. Just going across the divisions right now, you know, Miami's 4-3 in the AFC East. Buffalo's playing well, you know, along with New England. The Ravens are 4-4 with the Bengals at 3-4. The Titans and the Jags on the AFC South are both 4-3, with the Texans surprisingly 3-4 despite how well Deshaun Watson's playing. And then out in the AFC West, you know, the Chiefs and the Raiders are at the top of the division, but Denver's also 3-4. So a lot of those teams are going to be in the wild card hunt, and then the Ravens, they're scheduled the rest of the way. You know, after this game at Tennessee, you guys both voted to do that. That could be a win. I could think it could be a win for the Ravens as well. After that, the bye week, you know, the Ravens have their game this week with a bye after that. They're going to play an Aaron Rodgers-less Packers team, a Deshaun Watson-led Texans team on Monday night. That could be a tough game. Playing the Lions at home, who don't play well on the road. Playing at Pittsburgh and at Cleveland, two places they've had success in recent seasons. Home against the Colts and the Bengals, who they dominated the Bengals in the first week of the season. And the Colts are struggling without Andrew Luck, who probably won't play this season at all. So really, you know, the combination of the AFC being really tight and the Ravens' slate of opponents left, despite the struggles of the Ravens, you know, the entire NFL is going through a mediocrity period right now. Joe, and then shoot over to Chris. The Ravens are very still well in this, despite the issues they've had on the entire team so far this season.
It's pretty crazy to think about. I mean, I'm looking at the playoff picture right now, and the Dolphins would be the seventh seed behind the Jaguars in the wild card spot, and the Ravens are right behind them. And the Ravens have the upper hand on the Dolphins if it weren't for the loss, even though the Dolphins had their bye the first week of the season. But like you said, the Ravens have a very manageable schedule. And this season, they didn't come in with a very hard schedule to begin with. And a couple of those games, like the Bears games, could come back to haunt them if they come down to the end of the season 8-8 or a 9-7 and one game out of the wild card, like we saw last year. So, I mean, somehow they're still in it. They keep dragging us in. I don't have confidence even if they do make the playoffs, so that's just a different story for how well some of the other teams are playing, including the Steelers and the Patriots. But this team's still in it, and you can't knock them for it. I mean, I thought they were going to maybe look for some trades at the trade deadline. They didn't. They don't really have much to offer for any other teams. But this team's still in it. I mean, you can't really say much about it, but somehow I feel like they're going to end up finding their way into a wild card spot.
Yeah, I agree with Joe. I think the Ravens are a wild card team with this schedule. Of course, you never know what team's going to show up. I don't have that much confidence in the Ravens, as Joe kind of alluded to, in the playoffs. And I don't even think the playoffs are something we can expect. I think there's something we should hope for because there's a chance. And I also want to say that the AFC North, it looks like a foregone conclusion now, but Pittsburgh has a slip or two or an injury. And you throw out the records when the Ravens and Steelers play. You know, we can win in Heinz Field. That the AFC North isn't completely locked up for the Steelers. I mean, 95% chance Steelers win, but you know, you got to hold out some hope. Ravens go on a roll against some teams they should win a couple of the toss-up games, maybe that win the Steelers game, and anything's possible. Just get in the playoffs. So that's all I'm asking for. I don't care how you do it, but make the season worth something. Make it not a waste of time, a waste of our energy. When you write about a team constantly, you know, it really stinks when they stink because, I mean, it's just this endless circle of what do you want me to say? They stink. And when they win, there's always something more to talk about. It's not just venting. And we're all fans, so we want to see it do well. I see the Ravens as a playoff team. That's the standard we should set. Whether they do it or not, though, I don't know. I've said it numerous times. I don't know what to expect from this team. I didn't expect 40-0. I didn't expect to lose to the Bears. I didn't expect to lose to the Jaguars that badly. What do you expect from this team?
And certainly it will be interesting this week. Again, the Ravens playing the Titans before their bye week this Sunday at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to go Ravens 23, Titans 20, if Joe Flacco plays. I think if Ryan Mallett plays, it could be a different story. I don't have a score, but I think if Mallett plays, the Titans might sneak out a victory. Are you guys on the same page as me?
Yeah, I'll take a Ravens win. I'll go Ravens 21, Titans 15.
I'm going to say the Ravens force turnovers and win an otherwise close game. I'm going to say, let's go in homage to the 2000 playoff win. Let's go Ravens 24-10.
Oh, well, that will do it for this episode of the Ebony Bird Podcast. Again, Ravens playing 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans, who are 4-3. The Ravens entering at 4-4. They've played one more game than Tennessee has because they had their bye week last week, but they are on a two-game winning streak, most recently over the Browns Colts. So again, Jay McDonald, 95 on Twitter, Footballman58 for Chris Schistler, and Joe Schiller with two R's on Twitter. And then again, Ebony_Bird, ebonybird.com. You're listening to this again through either iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check out all of our articles online and download the app from the App Store of all of our stories that come out to you every day, courtesy of Ebony Bird and FanSided. Again, I'm Jake McDonald for Joe and Chris. Enjoy the game, and we'll hopefully be talking to you next week after another Ravens win.